The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Good morning, everybody. It is in the 8 a.m. on a Wednesday morning. Stephen Tubbs this afternoon. Coming up, George Brockler, January 26th, 2020. It's going to be sunny today, and then light snow comes back in tomorrow. Later in the hour, Justin Grantham's coming on. He's the clerk and recorder in Fremont County. We've become friends with these guys, and this plays out into the Hanks. I don't want to show up and let you show me how it's done. In the meantime and in between time, last night the radio station presented the GOP Senate debate. Was on at 6:30 last night. It was at Colorado Christian. I watched from 6:30 to about 20 minutes to 8 and just turned it off. On that panel last night was this man, Eli Bremmer. We've become friends. Eli, good morning. Thanks. Welcome back to the show and good morning.
Good morning, Pete. Thanks for having me on.
All right. What did you think? What was last night?
Well, first, I want to compliment the Colorado GOP for putting on really a fantastic event. And that's important because there's one of the jobs that they can do is showcase our candidates. And I really felt like Christy and her team over there did a great job because we have to market ourselves to the electorate. We have to show them that we've got bold ideas. I think they did a good job on asking thoughtful and important questions. But also, you know, my wife wasn't able to come because she was watching our 7-year-old son. She watched it on the streaming, and it worked really well. There were hundreds and hundreds of people. There were hundreds in the room, and there were hundreds watching online.
Yeah, that was Mark Crowley. I just spoke with him, and he had a couple of the guys with him, and I thought they did a remarkable job. They started on time and ended on time. I don't think it was a debate.
Well, I think it was probably more of a forum in how they had set it up, and I think that's there's some good parts of that and bad parts of it. You didn't have people jumping down anyone's throat, what you might see in a debate. So I think it depends on what you see. My guess is that over time, we'll have a little bit more of a debatey kind of feeling. You know, there's a lot of these that are being held. I think there's two or three more in the next week. I haven't even seen on my schedule all the debates. But I really feel like that was they asked some great questions, and it felt like, you know what, Pete, it felt very serious. It felt like we have Republicans who are paying attention, interested in the issues, and that gives me great optimism going forward.
What I thought I watched last night was a meet and greet, but one of the things that was somewhat frightening to me was I watched neocons. What I watched was a panel of neocons. Everybody seemed to want to jump back into the war. That's straight out of the George W. Bush, Dick Cheney playbook, Rumsfeld playbook, Wolfowitz and Card. One of the retorts yesterday was if the first Russian tank crosses the greatest air force in the world, America, we kill the tank or something. I'm thinking, was there anybody on that panel that didn't want to go to war?
Well, I personally don't want to go to war. I had two of my classmates and my sponsor brother from the academy. I think there's a difference between wanting to go to war and wanting to project strength. As it relates to the Ukraine, I think the Biden administration's been woefully incompetent about using soft power.
Right. I mean,
I'm a huge fan of soft power.
Well, the Bidens have been incompetent about everything, but can you really give me a reason for this country to be locked into a conflict when it's the Russians and Ukrainians? For the life of me, Eli, I can't find a way. But last night, I think it was the choir, and everybody sang the same song. What I said to Billy, we were talking, I said it to Crowley, when that moment when Donald Trump stands apart, and I'm up in Sturgis, and I saw it on the rerun, when all those guys, when it's low-energy Jeb and all those guys, and he stands up, and he separates himself from those men, those other men. And I was waiting for that moment last night, and maybe it just wasn't going to come.
Well, I think it depends on what you're looking for. As I said, like on Ukraine, my feeling on that is we don't need to send American troops there.
No.
But you know what? There's no reason we shouldn't have been sending them drones. There's no, like, and they can pay for them. This is not a gift.
Well, then That's the arms dealer. But the $200 million and the next $200 million arrive scot-free. So they're not selling weapons. You know that. I know that. That's part of what weapons people do.
There's a lot of unaccounted for aid. And the Bidens, of all people, know how corrupt the Ukraine is because they were participants in that.
Sure.
I am concerned about some of the geopolitical things that are going on. I've been very, very outspoken about that. I studied Russian at the Air Force Academy. I have a lot of background in that region. And I think it's a region we need to pay attention to because I have a lot of affinity for Donald Trump's desires and policies to get us out of conflict. I have friends who have died in the wars. I have no desire to send my friends. Mm. My brother's still an active duty Air Force officer. Mm-hmm. I don't want to send those people back into war. With that said, there's a lot of tools that we can use that the Biden administration simply not doing today. They dismantled the Abrahamic Accords. These are peaceful things, and they're bringing about more conflict. You look at our state of security vis-a-vis Iran. The Biden administration's weakness is inviting future potential armed conflict that we might not be able to avoid.
Well, what I have seen is 50 years, 20 years in Southeast Asia, 20 years in the Middle East. This is all great failures and, by the way, predicated on lies. And I have no idea what this guy thinks or the people around him think, but I can think of nothing more stupid than to get involved between Ukrainians and Russians. And they've got 8,500 guys on alert, and they're delivering weapons packages. And for the life of me, Eli, I can't understand, especially if you read the history and you say you have between Russia and Ukraine. It goes back before the time of the Czars. We've been over thousands of times. It's just like, I just literally don't know. But what I watched, and they're called neocons, and I'm thinking to myself, please, God, leave them alone. But what do I know?
Well, I think you're scratching at an itch that needs to be worked on. Our defense industrial complex is, I believe, archaic, and oftentimes the tail can wag the dog. You've got a lot of pull from these big companies, and that's been a critique that I think is very fair. I think the modern military that we need going forward needs private capital partnership and innovation outside the government, because we do need to stay at parity with China and Russia as a superpower, and we're not right now. We're not investing in things like hypersonic weapons. And these are weapons that are deterrent.
Why? I mean, I don't understand this arms race. We've been through that. I don't understand any of this. I'm just an old man, and I've just watched too much.
Well, I'll tell you, my biggest geopolitical concern right now is China. And I have extensive experience in China, worked, commuted back and forth for a number of years, and really grew an appreciation for their view of the world. They do want to dominate the world, and guess what? Mm. That includes us. We don't have to pick a fight with them. They're coming for us.
Really?
And they're going to come in a variety of ways. Mm. They've deployed Huawei across the world. They want to control the technology systems inside their country. They use that to subdue and control the people. So whether or not we want to run into China, we're going to run into China.
Well, if you really want to take the Chinese on, take your computer screen and throw it in the trash. Look, the United States, Richard Nixon goes to China, opens the door. Clinton makes them the most favored. The multinationals take jobs out of Gary, Indiana, pour them into China. The Chinese do it, continue to expand. And then I listen to people who say, no, we got to go get the Chinese. Wrong guys. Go get the multinational corporations. Go get American foreign policy. Take a hard look at how the Chinese became the Chinese. The same people were funding political careers. You want the truth? The truth lies elsewhere. It doesn't lie with inside of China. It lies outside of China.
So the mistakes that we've made in China are massive.
Well,
but they're mistakes that are in the past, meaning we have to deal with the reality. If China takes over Taiwan, we lose our computer chip manufacturing.
We've just ended up 20 years of great sadness in the Middle East, destroyed that part of the world. Why must we seek another fight?
But I'll walk you through it. Again, having spent a lot of time in China, the Chinese view Taiwan as their territory. And there's some historical reasons for that. Interestingly enough, the Taiwanese view themselves as Chinese as well.
That's right.
You know, that goes back, you know, 70 years now. Mm-hmm. The reality of it is, if China annexes Taiwan, they can shut down our computer chips that are coming back here. This can grind our economy to a halt. Now, I'm not in favor of going to any war by any stretch of the imagination. But look at the Chinese actions during the pandemic.
Eli, who stripped the means of manufacturing out of this country and took it there? It wasn't you. It wasn't me. It was the multinational corporations with the blessing of U.S. foreign policy, American CIA. And now they're going, you know, we can't get any computer chips. Really?
Well, that is a mistake that is in the past. We should not have made it.
It's in the future.
I'll be really clear. We should not have made it. We shouldn't, you know what, we shouldn't be making our medicines in China.
And
we shouldn't be making our PPE.
It's not we.
In China.
We got a rat in your pocket? It's them. This is what the multinational corporations have done to this country.
But here's the reality.
Right.
We are unfortunately tied to China.
And
we need to decouple. We need to decouple.
Well, I mean,
until that point. They have leverage over us, and we gave it to them.
Look,
and that was not a smart move.
There was an island called Formosa and Quemoy and Matsu, and they were part of China. But when Chang and his corrupt government flee, that's where they land. And the Taiwanese, as you pointed out, do not see themselves as part of that. And it's a mix. It's historical. It's much like the stuff that we've been talking about Ukraine and Russia. Forget Soviet Union, Russia. And we want to walk into this stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, what in the five times have you not learned in Southeast Asia or the Middle East? Let's go get the mullahs next. Eli, one of the things I love about you is you walk the walk. I want you to win, but you got to stand up. You got to throw a punch. This stuff I watched last night, it was like birds on a wire.
Well, here's the way I look at it. I had to, over the course of my studies, had to take a tremendous amount of history courses and look at what brought about World War I, what brought about World War II, what brought about Vietnam, what brought about Gulf War I and II. And the best way to have a war is to not have a war, right? But look at what happened in World War II in particular. You had an Asian superpower and you had the Germans. And you had a tremendous amount of tension and border questions about where borders should be drawn. And there's a lot of that that came out of World War I. I don't believe we should stick our head in the sand. I was having a conversation with a German friend of mine about this a couple years ago. And he said, Eli, I think we've moved to a point where we will never have a nation state war again. And I said, that's exactly what people were saying in 1938. And I don't want to be the guy that's warmongering by any stretch of the imagination, but you're also you also need to look at history and say, what similar dynamics do we see today, and do those look like things that have blown up in the past?
Sure.
And I get concerned about where we're at. And in 1938, Americans were we were happy isolationists, and I'm cool with being kind of isolationist, but that war came to us.
Well, in 1938 with Charles Borah and Lindbergh and the American Firsters, they had seen World War I. Woodrow Wilson, who was probably the worst American president of the 100 years, takes the United States into that war. All these young men die. Royal families collapse. Rise of the Bolsheviks. And now we're back and they're doing it again. And people in this country said, no, we did it last time. And look what happened. The beginning of that war is the Japanese attacking Pearl Harbor. Adolf Hitler declares war against the United States of America. FDR doesn't declare war against Hitler. It's the other way around. And the Japanese attack Pearl, and that is a conflict. But the people in this country who are, you know, you're looking at this now, and I see it the same way. What the hell is the last 40, 50 years of American wars inside of the third world, or what the lies of George Bush and Dick Cheney, Richard Nixon, Lyndon Johnson— Where have they really gotten this country? We're now the single largest debtor nation. We've lost our means of production into the PRC. We're watching all this stuff. And now guys say, well, I got to go get this back. No, you don't. You, not you personally. The country did it. Now, start to build, like Trump was right about bringing back what economists call, you know, basic industry back into this country. That's what needs to happen. But they're not going to, the multinationals who fund this stuff, they're not going to let that happen. Computer chips need to be made in this country. It's we have allowed the multinationals the power, the banking power. Ask yourself this, Eli, when I'm a little boy, the United States is the single largest creditor nation on the face of the earth. Today, as an old man, we're the single largest debtor nation. A series of just insane foreign policy decisions, a series of buffoons as the chief executive of the country. That's the stuff that I think people need to hear the truth about.
Well, I agree, but let's be very clear of what is idealistic and where we stand today. The mistakes that were made 20, 30, 40 years have
four years ago.
Well, the allowing Taiwan to have a mission critical piece of so much of our economy in the chip manufacturing, we should have seen that one coming. I was first in Taiwan in 1995. I landed in Taipei. I had a junior world championship in Kaohsiung on the south side, and there were jet fighters flying over the top of us when we landed in Taipei. And I turned to our translator and I said, "What the heck is going on?" And he said, "Oh, you know, China could be invading us." You know, not really a good time for my first trip to Asia. This has not been an unknown problem. I was in high school. Obviously, I'm not making decisions at the time of which multinational companies are building up where. But these are mistakes that were made, okay? This is now the year 2022, and we have to deal with the reality that we made those mistakes.
Yes.
So the question I have is, looking forward, is it conceivable that China will act maliciously toward America? It's not only conceivable, they did it in the height of the pandemic. They started withholding PPE. They threatened to, and in some cases withheld, critical medications, and we're still having trouble getting those out of China. Yeah. We don't have to guess that China will be malicious. They will be malicious. What we have to do is be creative and say, if I were a malicious China, what is my leverage I have in America? And Pete, right now, they got a lot of leverage. Well, the next thing we need to do is deleverage them, but they don't have that leverage.
We are their market. We are their dump. Lenin once said in pamphlet entitled What Is to Be Done, he talked about capitalists selling rope. What I'm saying to you is they live in these factories and they live in these places. They need, look, when everybody gets hatted up and I hear it on stupid radio shows, take your cell phone. I have 1, 2, 3, 4. I got 5 computer screens in front of me. Where do you think they were made?
They're all either made in China, Korea. They're all coming out of Asia, and the chips were all made in Taiwan.
I got this, not in Taiwan, they were made in a PRC. I got this phone in front of me. Where was it made?
Yeah, that's definitely in China.
Well, yeah, my point is they need you as much as you need them. They have to. Mao, when you read Mao, Mao says the single biggest problem he had wasn't Russians or the U.S. or Chang. It's feeding his people. And they had to eat. I mean, crazy as it sounds, they had to eat. The Chinese don't have a history of expansionist war. When I'm a little boy, the islands of Quemoy and Matsu and former, they were shelling each other, and Eisenhower's in the middle of all this stuff. This is ancient stuff. And I hate the saber rattling that I heard last night. I hate these people. There's other ways. And if you think the answer is an arms race or we're going to confront Putin, come home. Leave it alone.
So Let's look at China. You're right. China has not historically had a history of being expansionist, nor have they historically had an alliance with Russia.
And yet they hate each other.
A very close tie.
No,
correct.
They hate each other.
Historically, they do. We're seeing a very interesting alliance build. Now, Japan, why did Japan go to war in World War II? They started lacking
oil.
The natural resources.
Oil. Yeah,
and
oil.
So,
yeah.
And okay. So what's the oil of the 21st century? It's cobalt. It's lithium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have it. They
America, have it. Yeah. They don't have it inside their borders. So what are they doing? They're doing what the Japanese did in the 1930s, and they're going around the world. So the Chinese just foreclosed on the main airport in Uganda.
Mm-hmm.
They bought, courtesy of Hunter Biden, they bought the cobalt mine in the Congo, mm-hmm. and then they built a seaport on the west side
smart.
Of Africa.
It's smart. Why didn't the United States do it?
Smart. We should have.
No, you're too busy spending hundreds of millions of dollars in a stupid series of stupid wars in the Middle East.
So, and the president's son was who brokered that sale in the Congo, the cobalt mine. Okay,
what does that really mean in the scheme of things?
Okay, so here's what this means in the scheme of things. As a guy who had to go through the military schools and look at this and say, what brought about Japan's expansionist policy was that they needed to leave their islands to go get more natural resources. We're seeing that same pull from China. China has a very different government now than they did in World War II. And I've seen it firsthand. I've traveled there a bunch. There's a very different dynamic. You don't have to believe me. I've been to the Russian border in several places in China. There's an alliance that is happening behind the scenes that is very real. And we see a lot of the same precursors that we saw in World War II. And you talk about hypersonic weapons. I had a really interesting call with the senior defense official the other day. And I said, what's the deal with these hypersonic weapons? He said, Eli, it's really easy. That's a $10 million missile that a $15 billion aircraft carrier cannot survive. Mm-hmm. Okay, one of the problems we got into with Vietnam is we were dropping $10 million missiles on $5,000 worth of supplies. And eventually, I think you and I both agreed, these conflicts come down to economics, production, things like that.
No, it was Will. That's not true. That's not even close. And by the way, tell me somebody in the Pentagon that doesn't like a new weapon system. That's what they do.
Look, and they're spending through the roof on things they shouldn't. I had a senior defense official contact me about a refueling platform that they're trying to build a unmanned refueling platform. And he said, Eli, we could convert our KC-135s, which is probably a $5 million package, into an unmanned refueling platform, and the DOD wants to spend $100 million on it. So I'm with you on that. I think that they spend too much. But here's the capability. I think everybody on this show has heard about these new hypersonic weapons.
And
the danger of the hypersonic weapon is that in about 10 to 12 minutes, that missile is launched, and there's no defense of our major fleet in the Pacific. And you may not think it's a problem, but in 1939, 1940, no one thought Japan was going to do what they did vis-a-vis Pearl Harbor. I think it is important for America for us to maintain parity with other countries because, you know what? I am uncomfortable trusting the national security
of our country, not trusting anybody.
To the goodwills of China and Russia.
Look, I don't trust you. I don't trust anybody. The point of it is when we get into these stupid, ridiculous 1950s arguments, and whether it's when the Soviets launch Sputnik or Joe fires off the hydrogen or atomic bomb or this guy does this or the battleship Navy, the fight who has the more battleships, who has the kind of bigger aircraft carriers, this has been an age-old flop. Now, it's time. You want to put soldiers somewhere, put them on the southern border. Joe Biden is incapable of any kind of distinct ideas that would lead anywhere but to craziness. But what I'm saying to you, who I like and I want you to win, what I heard last night, I'm telling you, I rest my case. I heard neocons. I'm thinking to myself, as all you can do is say, we got to take on the Russians and the country that's in the shape that it's in today. After all of the sadness in the Middle East and the sadness of Southeast Asia and the craziness that we've watched in the Cold War and the insanity of the internal hunts, phew, you got to win.
I have no desire to take the Russians. Again, that's an area of the world I'm real familiar with, having studied it, studied language. That's not – land wars in Asia are always a bad idea. That's one of those, like, study world history. But I am deeply concerned right now. And maybe we're going to have to agree, disagree. But I just don't want to be in a point where I'm putting the security of our country in the hands of the goodwill of other countries. Read world history. Look, Pete, I've read world history. I've actually worked in China. And if Americans don't think that the Chinese have the moral power in them to launch a preemptive strike on our carrier.
Please.
We are not reading history, and we are not understanding their culture.
Let me, perhaps you could fill in the rest of it. What did Albert Einstein say when asked if we fight, World War III with the technology we have today, what did Einstein say we would fight World War IV with?
I have no idea.
Rocks. We have the ability, we have what's called MAD. You've read Khrushchev, you read Kissinger, you read these people. It was called MAD, Mutually Assured Destruction, Scorpion War. Why in God's name would anyone even think it? Yet they do.
So Mutually Assured Destruction was actually, it came out of a field of study called game theory, which
I understand.
I've been able to study quite a bit.
But they called it that.
And,
they called it that,
yeah,
MAD.
And you know what? It actually was extremely, it was an extremely stable situation. We went through a long-term conflict with the Soviet Union, which we didn't have a choice over. The Soviet Union declared they wanted to take over America. By the way, what are the Chinese saying? The Chinese are saying, we are going to own this century. They
You know what? And they will. And you know why?
Okay, so,
because of the thinking that, look, real quick, and I got to pause. The 1-7 was European. The 1-7 and 1-8 were European. The 1-9 was ours. The 2, Pakistan, India, PRC, South Korea, that's theirs. And you know why? Because we made exactly the same mistakes that the Europeans made in the 1-8. And so, and so it goes, as Kurt Vonnegut said, we must come to some conclusions in the hunt for another war, the hawks, the dogs of war. I wrote a column. Watch. It'll be Putin. It'll be the mullahs. It'll be the PRC. Why in God's name, and give me last, and I like this man, why in God's name do you have to even talk about war, given the problems in this country?
The reason is because whether or not we like it, war is going to happen. I have read through history.
Okay.
You've read through history. Your listeners have read through history. The number one time when you are least prepared is if you say war cannot happen.
I didn't say that.
That is when it is most likely to happen.
I did not say that. I never said war cannot happen. Never said that.
And I don't look at this and say, I don't want to invite war.
Mm.
Historically, America has invited a war when we've shown weakness. If we show strength economically and great defensive strength, the bully doesn't fight the strong kid, he fights the weak kid. America, you and I would agree, America's weak. We're weak financially right now. Our military is weak because Joe Biden is more interested in transgender.
Joe Biden's been there for a year. You had 20 years of using this military in Iraq and buffering up against Iran and Afghanistan. No, you can't. You tire a military out.
I have lived through this. This started. We had a degradation of our military that started with Bill Clinton and the social engineering inside the military. I was at one of our most elite military schools when Clinton was putting in social engineering. I saw it firsthand. I saw that the junior officers under Clinton became the senior officers under Obama. These plants grew into weeds, and now this is where
did they do a good?
Were
those a really strong, brave young men in Afghanistan? Really strong, brave men that fought inside of the stupid wars that were perpetrated by George Bush. Don't do that. Don't run those.
I'm not talking about them.
Talking about
Bill Clinton. I said how our military has been used for social engineering. And its capabilities have been degraded.
Those were fine, brave young men who gave their hearts and souls on a lie in Afghanistan and inside of Iraq. And now you're saying what to me?
I'm saying that I'm talking about something completely different.
Well, then what did I miss when you were talking about Bill Clinton?
I said I'm not talking about his policies on conflict. I'm talking about how he handled the military. Bill Clinton viewed the military as a place to push social engineering. Mm. Okay, so you're saying, well, Joe Biden's only been there a year. Joe Biden has only been there a year, but the people that Bill Clinton brought in to engineer, to turn the military from a tool of war into a tool of social engineering, they're your four-star generals today. Mm. They're the ones pushing critical race theory in the military. I can talk about names of people. Lloyd Austin is a product of the Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, to Joe Biden military.
We really need a break. I mean, with respect, I hear this. It's been said before when black men were able to be officers. It's been said so many different times in history. Well, it's over for the military. It's gone for the military. this country took and abused its military so often from the 60s and the 70s, abused its military again under George Bush and under Dick Cheney. And one thing that Donald Trump did, he said, we're not going to get guys killed anymore. And he did. They did DORA. Look, this hour's killed. I'll get you back on tomorrow. Hang on. Eli Bermers, I apologize. We wrecked it up. You're tired of living with chronic pain. I'm pain in the rear end radio. Billy, I'm sorry, Billy. Pain, knee joints, back pain. Listen, because now there is a new treatment available here. I'm not talking about surgeries or steroids. These are regenerative treatments from medical professionals at QC Kinetics. QC Kinetics is the leader in these exciting biologic therapies that help restore and repair damaged tissue to your joints and lasting results. If you got pain in your knees and shoulders or hips and back, joint pain just won't go away. You need to check out these new treatments, astonishing patient satisfactions. They actually help your body restore and repair itself with no downtime, no drugs, no surgery. Don't go through another year with that awful joint pain. Don't let them put you under the knife. You need to learn more about how biologic therapies are changing the way we think about dealing with joint pain. Call QC Kinetics now. Consultation at 303-900-8986. 303-900-8986. 303-900-8986. Call them today. I like Eli. We just had to break that away. Wednesday, the 26th of January, coming up, the one and only George Brockler, and then, of course, Stefan. The use of the military, politicizing the military. It's sad what Lyndon Johnson, Richard Nixon did to the military. It's sad what George Bush and Dick Cheney did to the military. But it's lost on me. Go to war. It's time for you to call a plumber. Please remember my friend Brad Apple, Time Plumbing, Heating, and Electric for all your needs. Love the number. Easy to remember numbers. 303-PLUMBER. 303-PLUMBER. Brad and Judy Apple started Time Plumbing in 1983. Fast, dependable, locally owned service. And it's been there ever since. At Time Plumbing, Electric, and Heating, they find ways to do it right. They get things fixed the first time, the right time. Your problems will be solved in one trip. No hidden fees, no pushy upsells from their team. The teams are pros. Time will actually diagnose your plumbing problem and give you options and fix it right day or night. The top priority at Time Plumbing, Heating, and Electric is meeting your needs first, day or night, 24/7. They focus on your safety and your comfort. It's a great number to remember. 303-PLUMBER. Can't forget it. 303-PLUMBER. Plumbing, heating, and electric needs. These are good folks. Time's there to practice, and again, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you need the number, 303-PLUMBER. Competitive flat rate pricing, discounts on military, first responders, meds, teachers, and many, many more. Ask them. Remember the number, 303-PLUMBER, 303-PLUMBER, 303-PLUMBER. Last night, I watched the GOP Senate debate moments ago. We had Eli Bremer on. I'm a fan of Eli's. But it was like the neocons last night. What business can you conceivably think of that the United States has in a clash between Ukraine and Russia? If you read, what business does the United States have? Are we going to deal with them? No, we don't. Dealing with these people, if you read world history, what does dealing with these people, particularly in this century, or rather the last century, even mean? Where does it end? Craziness, insanity. Yet we have to do it. The great Albert Einstein, you fight World War III with what we have now, you'll fight World War IV with rocks. And the PRC isn't going into Afghanistan. The Russians are not, I mean, it's just nuts. And they sat there, and I'm thinking to myself, these are neocons. These are the, your descriptive narrative fits here. That are around George Bush and Dick Cheney, Card, Wolfowitz, these people. Well, we got to do this. No, we don't. And if you want to be mad at somebody, take your television sets and your computer screens and your cell phones and just throw them in the trash. Throw them in a dumpster. Now you're getting even with China. We got to take on the Chinese. Why? For God's sake, why? Do you think that these people, what must you think? And that was the line last night. One of the persons last night on that debate said, if one Russian or tank crosses in, we take it out with the American Air Force. I thought to my God, oh my God. Or people that it's like the people that control, oh, that mad thing. Well, that really, yes, it was. Henry Kissinger, I read Kissinger, big deal. Kissinger said, the Americans and the Soviets were two blind giants locked in a totally dark room, each thinking the other could see. I thought that was just brilliant. Kissinger's brilliant. So in a totally locked dark room are two giants, sightless giants, each thinking the other could see. Thank goodness for Ronald Reagan. Look, selling your home and buying your dream home can be tricky. Inventory is at an all-time low in Denver, and that's why I only refer my friends and family to Gay Ribble, the Ribble Group, Keller Williams Realty, DTC. Gay already has the buyers that give you the game-changing advantage as a seller. More demand, multiple offers, and, of course, more money. This is how Gay sells three times faster. On a $500,000 home, you get $30,500 more bucks in your pocket on average than the other guys. She's become a great friend. This is the great part. Gay has different programs to help you, again, maximize the sale of your home. There's nothing cookie cutter about selling your home right with Gay. Gay Ribble, and she's G-A-Y-E, is just selling your home with any other agent. She versus everybody else. Gay's zero commission program, about her 24-hour cash offer programs. With Gay, your price is her promise. Gay guarantees that she will sell your home 100% of your asking price, or she'll pay you the difference. This is a terrific, terrific woman. The Ribble Group, today, 833-301-SOLD. 833-301-S-O-L-D. 833-301-SOLD. There's no such thing as a wrong question. There's only somebody give you the wrong answer, the bum steer. Visit G-A-Y-E, GayHasTheBuyers.com. G-A-Y-E, GayHasTheBuyers.com. We got time for one more round, a six-pack to go. Coming up, George Brockler. I watched an hour of that last night. I said, please. Okay. 710 KNUS. I'm Peter Boyle. Stay here. We turn around. Brockler's coming up. Brockler coming up. 710 KNUS to the wall. I agree with you, but I ask you the question to ask myself, what line, what country, what event warrants American intervention? What line of isolationism do we apply to this situation? We put the troops on the Canadian border. We put the troops on the Mexican border. We patrol. We protect our shores. And you deliver the mail. And you leave everybody the five times alone. And see what happens next. The Chinese come knocking on the door. It is crazy. We've allowed the multinationals to do all this stuff, and then everybody's got a hat on. All right, time to tell you about Stack Optical. First of all, they're open, and they've been following all the city and state guidelines. My friends, Alan Stack, Stack Optical, serving Denver since 1968, focusing on providing the highest standards of customer service. They have a great selection of eyewear. They work on appointments. You can call. You can ask for 11 o'clock Thursday, 303-321-1578, 1 o'clock on Saturday, 303-321-1578, 9 o'clock in the morning, Friday morning, 303-321-1578. 2233 South Monaco Parkway, South Monaco and Evans. Everything I got, I mean, sporting glasses, sunglasses, eyewear, motorcycles, skiers, everything comes from Alan. Alan's my guy. Name it. Stack has it. Make the appointment you want, 303-321-1578, stackoptical.com, 2233 South Monaco Parkway, South Monaco and Evans. Now the turn comes. Here we go. Brockler and I coming up next on 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.